Thank you very much for this opportunity. And I'm just going to talk about boundary effect on the. We're just going to talk about the boundary effect on a detector field entanglement in a detector field system. So basically, in the literature, there has been a lot of study in terms of the entanglement properties of field-mediated local quantum, quantum systems.
Sorry about that.
That should work.
Okay. Does that work?
Can you hear him? Yeah. Speak to him. Let's see.
Okay. It should work. So there's been a lot of phenomenologies of entanglement in these different scenarios, such as sudden death, originated from very early studies, 2004, when people studied qubits into cavities mediated by electromagnetic field, and the residual entanglement or entanglement revival in various models. And also there's the concept of finite range of entanglement, where two local objects, when they interact with the quantum field, there will be a finite range outside which they will no longer be entangled in lay time. So our target is use a relatively simple model to probe into the effect of boundary on such system. Basically, you always have an extensive field, quantum field that mediates the interaction between quantum systems. And can we say something, in a sense, general about the effect of boundary on the entanglement of these quantum systems? And immediately we know that the existence of boundary breaks Poincaré invariance. And but from a more physical perspective, we can ask some just questions out of curiosity, like if you have a perfect mirror there, can you have entanglement with your mirror image? Or if you have entanglement with your mirror image, is it going to depend on the distance between your atom or your local quantum object and the mirror? So, this is very brief. Just for a measure of entanglement, well, for mixed state, there's of continuous variable systems, the theory is pretty complicated. Whereas in this case, eventually we'll see that it suffices to deal with a system in a global pure state. And the theory for the bipartite entanglement of global pure state is very straightforward. You can pretty much all the quantum correlations between the two bodies goes into the entanglement, and we can use entanglement measures such as von Neumann entropy or entanglement entropy or linear entropy to quantify the entanglement. So the model is very straightforward. Basically, we have one inertial R-Dewitt detector sitting there in front of a perfect mirror. And this R-Dewitt detector, as its name denotes, has a monopole linear coupling with a massless quantum field, scalar field. And all of these are in half space because the mirror enforces a perfectly reflecting boundary condition. And when we study entanglement, usually people designate a certain initial state. In this case, we take the simplest one, namely, we let the detector field to be initially uncorrelated and both being in their ground state. I think it's worth mentioning that whereas here the perfect reflecting boundary condition seem to be a bit of artificial. Well, in fact, in a field of atomic physics, you can simply take a microscopic model of dielectric media and then take the perfect conducting limit, and in that limit you can always recover this perfect reflecting boundary. And let's just proceed through the math, and then we can come to the physics. So basically, the influence of field usually can be captured by its retarded propagate and Hartmann-Lagrange function, one of them being the commutator, the other one being the anti-commutator of the homogeneous field solutions in half space. And we'll simply quantize the field in half space under this Dirichlet boundary condition. And as we will see in the follows, we'll try to get some connection with the theory of quantum Brownian motion or quantum open system, and then we introduce some equivalent spectral density so that we express the two Green's functions in a relatively compact form with the same kernel as the spectral density, but with just one cosine and one sine functions. Well, this is just, well, just go, you can go and solve Heisenberg operators, and eventually you arrive at this field influence dynamics of detector. And as we can see that it contains basically two terms. This term is basically the field mediated influence of the detector. Basically, the detector will emit a signal and it gets reflected back from the mirror and then interact with the detector itself again. Whereas this term, in the theory of quantum open system, people sometimes call the noise. If you treat the field as a reservoir or as an environment, and here is nothing but the quantum fluctuation of the field in half space, of the free massless field in half space, which acts as a source for the quantum dynamics of the monopole detector. And well, in the weak coupling limit, basically we have three temporal regimes for the dynamics of detector. Well, in the early time, basically because of the fact that the detectors are weakly coupled to the field mediated reflect influences on the detector is always an order of magnitude smaller than the effect due to vacuum fluctuation of the field. And therefore, this introduces some simplification so that we can study the dynamics, early time dynamics, with relative rigor. The intermediate time is usually pretty complicated, just as any open system would do when it interacts with an environment. And late time, because of the fact that the field contains an uncountable degree of freedom, the detector will settle down to a time-stationary mixed Gaussian state. And in this late time station state, we can safely talk about say the distance dependence of the entanglement between detector field and so on. And the similar behavior has been studied, have been seen about the entanglement between two inertial detectors coupled to the same massless scalar field. And in this case, the mirror image simply acts as if it's another detector sitting on the other side of the boundary. And eventually we'll come back and find whether this identification is true or not. So in early time evolution, because of the fact that initially the initial conditions factorized, that namely the detector field, they are uncorrelated and are both in their ground state. The correlations can be factorized in this way. And as we have explained, early times, the influence of field is governed by vacuum fluctuations. Namely, the field simply acts as a fluctuating quantum entity driving the motion of the detector. And we have the zeros order field influence correlation functions. And you can study the dependence of the atom field detector field entanglement at early time, and it basically this is light cone, and then you see that as before the detector and any reflected influence gets. Before the detector gets in contact with its reflected influence, namely before the signal that detector emits is reflected by the mirror and comes back to itself, there's already an interesting behavior in the dynamics of the entanglement between the detector and the field. Namely, as soon as the detector and field gets in contact with each other, yes, the entanglement between them starts to oscillate. And this plot is basically for if you have just one at a given instant time, if you change the distance of the detector from the mirror, you can see that there's actually an oscillation depending on the spatial dimension instead of the temporal dimension. And in late time, the equation can be written as some equivalence of quantum Langevin equation and settle down to a late time stationary state. And it's interesting to compare this case between compare case of a detector field entanglement free space and detector field entanglement with the presence of a mirror. And for the free space, we see basically this is what we see. And it's interesting to notice the logarithmic dependence on the cutoff, which is because of the fact that there's an infinite number of modes if you don't put on the cutoff. And for the case with mirror reflection, compared to the case of free field, we can see there's a perturbative correction to linear entropy, and it's very interesting that there's absolutely no divergence in this part. And we can somehow identify this part with the, you can say the entanglement with the mirror image or the influence on the detector field entanglement purely due to the mirror image. And well, this is basically the correction to linear entropy, and this plot is the first order correction. This plot is the correction to all orders. And as we can see that the mirror always has a negative influence on the detector field entanglement, where whatever the distance between them might be. And well, we can answer the earlier queries, like, first of all, is there an entanglement between a detector and all mirror image? We will say it should be attributed to the entanglement between the detector and the field. And the second question is, what's the distance dependence? We will say that it always decreases. And the question is, the second question I'll just skip. So let's try to understand this fact that the Dirichlet boundary condition always eliminates or cause the detector field entanglement to decrease. And as we can see, the reason is really because of the fact that this reflected influence is always negative. That's just because of the Dirichlet boundary condition. And this will always reduce the correlation established between the detector and the field due to their interaction. And we can suggest possible ways to enhance such entanglement, such as if you put two dielectric media together, but with epsilon 1 larger than epsilon 2, so that the reflected wave is of the reflected wave's phase doesn't get flipped. Or you can say, well, put Newman boundary condition, and so that the same can happen. And some further developments, the first one is that, well, we can have a microscopic model of a linear dielectric medium, so that we can really make sense of we can really define a degree of freedom of the mirror image that can really get entangled with the detector. And in this case, well, it's basically a mixed state entanglement. And we definitely expect something like a finite range of entanglement to happen here. And the second route of development, which is we are currently doing, is just as we can study the boundary effect, we can also study the topological effect. For example, if you put two detectors in topological non-trivial spacetime, what would the entanglement dynamics be, and what's its connection, or what does it imply about underlying topological structure of the spacetime? And thank you. That's all I would like to present.